welcome to another episode of the Podcast Go. Our host, Alex, couldn't be here this week, so I'm hosting today. I'm Michelle, and joining me is Don.
Hello, everyone.
And Paolo.
Good to be back.
And we're going to talk about collecting today, I guess. Bear with me. I'm not as experienced as our wonderful usual host, but we'll do our best.
Boy, does he have experience, you know?
Yeah. So I guess we should start off with the news first. So you guys got any news for recent geek and otaku culture?
Yeah, I've got something. So this goes well with our topic of collecting. So Hayao Miyazaki, which I'm sure most people know about, he's in retirement. However, that's only with movies. So he's coming out with a new manga called Otepo Samurai. And the piece of news is that he started working on personally designing the action figure for the protagonist. So it'll be cool to see how that comes out. I've seen pictures and they look pretty cool. I don't know if I'll actually buy it, but I'll definitely read the manga.
Okay, interesting. It really feels like he's just totally abandoning Studio Ghibli.
Well, I don't think he's like abandoning it because he's doing it through Studio Ghibli, but he says that his idea, and I'm quoting the blog, the official blog, is his idea of retirement is basically a coffee break. So I feel like he's just taking a step back and like not being as active, but it's still, of course, an integral part of Studio Ghibli.
Okay, cool. Well, I have something. Very recently, Nintendo announced that they'd be reviving their World Championships after a 25-year hiatus wow. As a part of their 25th anniversary, which is pretty cool. It's like a worldwide competition, and you know, they haven't done it for 25 years, so it's probably going to be very different from the very first competition they had.
What are they going to be playing? Is it just like a specific game, or is it different games? Everyone's competing for the best of each game.
Okay, in the first championship, they contestants played a game that was basically a mixture of three games. So they have a certain amount of time to play. And there are three mini games. One is a Super Mario Bros. Competition, which is, and they just had to collect coins. And then the next mini game was a version of Rad Racer, and they have to like compete on a special course. And then the final one was Tetris, and that was for as long as you could go.
Cool.
That sounds so cool, honestly. I don't know what they're going to do for this year's competition, but that just sounds so retro.
I think it would be really awesome to see everyone compete in Mario Party and just see them all hate each other at the end.
Well, I mean, there's so much competitive spirit, I would think, already, that they probably already hate everyone coming in. So that element of fun is, like, out of it.
Oh, interesting. They actually divided it in their first competition. I'm actually not sure how they're going to do their competition this year, but in the one they did 25 years ago, they divided it into different age categories. So that's actually really fair. So they gave out three world championship titles, actually.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I wonder if anyone who won the original world championship will come to this one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, technically they should, most of them should be alive.
Would they still qualify in age?
Yeah, because it was split between 11 and under, 12 through 17, and 18 and over. So, you can be whatever age you wanted. You could be 83 and participating. But yeah, if you're interested in participating, the co qualifying competitions will begin on May 30th at some Best Buy locations, so you should probably look that up. Find the nearest one in your area, and maybe you can go to the championships. Any other news?
Lastly, on the TV side of things, Warner Brothers released two trailers for two of their upcoming series for this coming fall. One is Supergirl, which will be airing on CBS on Monday nights at 8 p.m. And I thought it was actually a really great trailer, considering that I had no interest on the series based on the synopsis that they had given for it. It sounded pretty bland without anything really interesting going on, but then the trailer hit, and it does have typical vibes of a typical CW show aimed at girls, but at the same time, I still think it's the trailer shows up enough shows up shows off enough that has kept my interest, and that's saying something considering I'm not the, I guess, core demographic that they target. And so, I'm really interested in seeing the show going forward and seeing if they will eventually cross it over into the Arrow and Flash universe, because they are all three shows are under are ran by Greg Berlanti, but unlike Arrow and Flash, Supergirl is on CBS instead of the CW. That being said, the Arrow and Flash are having their own spin-off series called Legends of Tomorrow, airing this fall as well, which will feature a new team of heroes led by Adam, played by Brandon Routh, White Canary, played by Katie Lotz, Captain Cold, played by Wentworth Miller, Heatwave, played by Dominic Purcell, and Hawkgirl by, I am totally blanking out on her name, but she's a new addition to the team, as well as Firestorm, played by Robbie Amell and Victor Garber. And they'll be joined by a new hero played by Arthur Darvill from Doctor Who. His name's Rip Hunter, and I guess as a fun joke for Doctor Who fans, he's playing a time traveler once again. And so they're teaming up to stop one of DC's more notorious villains named Vandal Savage, who, if you watched Young Justice, you guys will be familiar with who the villain is. But as a kind of a superhero team-up show, it's the first of its kind on network television, so it's pretty exciting. And effects-wise, they are going pretty big with the show, and it's really gonna it's, it's gonna be I think it's gonna be really great going forward. I think tone-wise, it's less serious than Arrow, more in line with what Supergirl and Flash are going for. And despite one moment that is, copied from Avengers: Age of Ultron, it looks like it's gonna be a fun show.
Okay, Don, are you planning on watching any of that at all?
If I have the time to, sure. But considering I had no time to watch any of the other shows like Flash, Arrow, and all that, I doubt I will. But it's cool, and if I have the time, I definitely will try.
Okay, yeah, I'm not too big on superhero shows, mostly just because I don't have time to watch, and if I do have time, I would probably choose something else. But the Supergirl trailer does sound does look pretty interesting, so I'll probably hear about it on Tumblr or whatever, and if it does catch my interest, I might want to pick it up too. Okay, I think that's it for news, so let's just jump right into our topic of the week. Collecting. So, I guess the first question would be, are there anything that you guys collect?
Well, I do you want to go?
Yeah, no, you can go, Dan.
Okay. So I, of course, collected Pokemon cards, growing up. Switched to Yu-Gi-Oh! Now I'm doing Magic. So trading cards has always been like a big part of my life. But I also collect manga and especially hardcover manga.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Did you guys collect card games?
Same as you. Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Magic. Before they got just way too expensive to
Yeah.
follow on and on. Especially Magic. They're on their, like, what, 20 or 30th expansion set now.
Yeah, it's way too
Way too
expensive.
much.
It's way too
But from that, I've moved on to movies, TV series, and books. I don't collect every movie. I like collecting special editions. Like, I have the all three Lord of the Rings extended editions. I'm waiting for the latest, last extended edition of The Hobbit to collect. I have the extended edition of James Cameron's Avatar, a lot of collector's edition of Scott Pilgrim, and so forth. I also have that special, I guess, luggage case release for Inception that came with a bunch of extras, which cost me $40, which was but really worth it. And I've collected a few anime series here and there. I have to collect complete DVD collections for Vision of Escaflowne and Cowboy Bebop. The older release for Cowboy Bebop, not the new anniversary release that came out last year. And as for books, I collect the old Star Wars Expanded Universe novels. And then came the announcement that they're not canon anymore, which kind of pissed me off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't actually collect too many things. I used to collect Pokemon cards when I was a kid, but I actually never got into Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic. I'm actually wondering where my old Pokemon cards went. I know that there were quite a few. I had like a Charizard in it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, everyone
But
has that Charizard though.
really? Oh.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay.
So,
Collect some
sorry.
manga series, but not too many. So I guess I'm not like as big as on collecting as a lot of people are. Which and a lot of people in both geek and otaku culture who are. So I guess I was
Yeah.
wondering kind of how this fits into the culture.
You can go first then.
Well, I'm not really quite sure what I want to say. I feel like part of like Greek and otaku culture, I can't really speak about Greek geek culture, but this otaku, there's a sense of like camaraderie when with like when you're with fellow friends, and everyone likes interacting with each other. So collecting, I feel, is like not only do you help, does it help you increase your enjoyment of the series, because you can, at least in manga, like help the artist and also have it on hand. But you know, it gives you another excuse to interact with people, and you can like bond at another level. Yeah.
Okay.
And well, I guess this is kind of a more cynical look at collections, but when collecting something means you're buying any merchandise that is associated with a certain brand. And anytime you sell merchandise, it's to build that brand so that it stays longer. So, you know, collecting, it's not just about, you know, supporting something that you like, but making sure it stays around. Because a show can be great, but if it's not supported by fans, it can disappear, like Firefly. And, you know, some shows are hard to market with merchandise. Some are easier. I mean, a good example of that would be Young Justice. Great show, but toy sales were down. And, you know, a lot of it's because, you know, toys are kind of outdated at this point, and they're slowly being replaced by apps and games on mobile devices. And that's where, you know, that's where kind of the new collection's coming along now. I mean, there are so many Marvel and app games now that part of the fun of it is collecting different heroes that you can use. And that's kind of the same thing as, you know, you're collecting heroes in the same way that me and Dan would have collected cards for our favorite characters back in the day, or collecting whatever you want that is a representation of a show or a book or a series or a comic that you would love and support. So that's part of what drives people nowadays. Others, another factor is just basically, you know, just kind of show it off to other people. When I pick up a movie, it's not just because I like the movie, it's because I want to show it to other people. And I think that's part of it.
Okay. I actually wanted to touch on one of the things that you talked about earlier, apps. Because, okay, I haven't collected anything physical, really, but I'm honestly, like, really big on mobile gaming. And yes. a huge part of it for me is collecting. I play Puzzles and Dragons, mm-hmm. and Love Live! School Idol Festival, and in both of those games, you're basically collecting characters or monsters, and building up your team, but also to sort of just complete that album. So, and I do think a lot of, a big part of collecting culture is just completion. Just to say, you know, I have the full set of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's interesting because for apps and stuff, you're collecting something, yeah, but a lot of the times you can't trade them with people, so it kind of eliminates the whole camaraderie factor, honestly, in that Don talked about, because you can't trade with other people.
No.
And it's pretty hard. It's kind of weird to show off, too. Like, it's kind of like, here, check out my phone and look at my complete collection of Puzzles and Dragons monsters. So I feel like it really has changed a lot.
I think the way that's kind of gone around that with apps is that instead of just like showing off something on your phone to your friends, you can, I don't know about the games you play, but for other games, you know, you can send friend requests or add allies for certain games, and then they can view what you have, you know, as a kind of a measure of do I really want to add you as a friend, and if they see you have a lot of stuff, it's like they could be useful, especially if like you get bonuses from having friends with a lot of items or characters. It's so I think that's kind of how they got around that.
So it's funny that you should mention that, because that immediately makes me think of like achievements and trophies. So like I don't have an Xbox 360, but you get achievements there, right? And I clearly don't play a lot of video games, so it's been out for a few years and I still like new to all this stuff. But they have all this like idea of, you know, doing certain things and you can show it off by collecting achievements and trophies and whatever else. I think that's also like, I think it's part of human nature to like hoard things, right? And I feel like if you can collect and then have a way to show it off, it's just another element of, like I said before, you know, enjoyment. Because ultimately, why are you buying something? You know, you, as you said, to like keep something alive. But also, you know, you want to enjoy it. And perhaps keeping something alive helps you enjoy that series later on. But also, I feel like comparing and contrasting, and, you know, feeling you get a more complete collection makes you feel better about yourself than your friend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely, for sure. But I also feel like, I don't know about other people, but for me, it's fun to see what kind of achievements that my friends get on when they're gaming, but it's not like it doesn't really feel the same way as, oh wow, you collected the entire set of a certain movie series or, you know, trading card set. It more feels sort of like you're really complete gamer. Like, it has a lot of completionist sort of the sort of feel to it, and I feel like a lot of those achievements and awards are more centered on you, on gaming companies trying to increase the replay value of their game. For example, I'm playing The Last of Us right now, finally, and you get mm-hmm. achievements for beating the game on every single mode, which is kind of boring, honestly, because, you know, there's different modes of difficulty, and it's still the same game over and over again. But if I was like really bent on completing the trophy set, then I would have to play the game at least 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
I also, since we're talking about digital, I also think that, well, personally, I prefer physical collecting over digital, because I don't know about you guys, but I feel like physical collecting is more permanent. It's more like, I own this. If it's digital, it feels transient. Because, you know, games will fall in and out of play, and, you know, it's not a permanent, you know, I'm collecting this. And I feel like there's more value in collecting physical things. I don't know about you guys, but I think that's where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer collecting physical copies of books and movies over digital ones just because I like having them on display.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, just it feels more real to have something tactile and physical in your hands than, you know, like a digital copy that comes with most Blu-ray and DVD combo packs for films now. And I guess, I mean, I get the benefit of having more digital content, which is, you know, you're using pretty much no physical space in your living area, but I like having the physical space until I start running out of places to keep my stuff. Like, now that I work at a theater, I get free movie posters from work. So I'm going to run out of wall space real soon if I keep getting every poster I want.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a good thing, good situation to run into, you know? Like, I want my collection to be so freaking large that I've got to buy another bookshelf in order to keep all my manga. That's like a great feeling to have, like, wow, you know, it's another step in my journey of completion of, you know, trying to better my collection. And so I think that's a great situation to be in, running out of wall space.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you would find it pretty hard to find somebody who would disagree with you when you say people like collecting physical things over digital things. Which is why, you know, they're still selling physical copies of games and stuff. Like, people want to hold the package in their hands, and they want to show it off. It's so much more satisfying to have the copy of the disc in front of you rather than just have a digital copy that you can play anytime. And some people might disagree, but I feel like the majority of the people in both geek and otaku culture would agree.
Well, I suppose this is part of the reason why we have like Amiibo, Skylanders, Disney Infinite, and now like Lego Dimensions, right? It's because we want to like enjoy a game, even if it's like completely digital, but we also want to like collect things. And so I feel like the reason why we have these games which blend the physical collecting and the digital game is to like capitalize on this want for physical objects, you know?
Also because this Nintendo is very smart at marketing.
That also, and ultimately it all goes down to money, right? Mm. But, I mean, if you want to take a step back from that and, you know, think positively, you know, people really do enjoy collecting. And if, like, collecting gives you an edge in the game, I feel like that's an easy, how should I say this, want, need, to give into, to accept and put money into. So I personally have a living Pokédex, and I remember I never had a living Pokédex until Pokémon Bank, because, you know, wasn't a permanent thing until that happened. And so once Pokébank came out, you know, I went into a frenzy trying to get every single copy of every single Pokémon possible. And I'm more than willing to pay whatever amount of money a year in order to make that my collection permanent. And again, I think permanence is like where it's at. But we all agree with that, so I don't need to focus on that point anymore. But I also wanted to work in that I got a complete Pokédex. But
And I guess like it all goes back to marketing and building a brand, as Paulo said before. I'm curious actually, because I know that in Western TV shows and stuff, that like selling things and creating a brand is quite different from like the anime industry. But I don't actually know too much about that. Paolo, do you think you could expand on that a little bit?
Well, at least when it comes to cartoon shows, or just kids oriented products in general, the way most of them make their money is through merchandising. That's why Disney goes ham with promotional materials for all their products. Like, you know, everyone knew Avengers was going to make over $1 billion. So there's no question there. But where does Disney maximize more of their value? Since they own Marvel now, they do it through promotional items, that they sell in theaters, merchandise through like stuffed animals, action figures, toy lines. And that's where a lot of the money comes from. Like a big reason why, Sony had to give back the rights of Spider-Man despite still distributing the film to Marvel was because even though the film made over 700 million worldwide for Amazing Spider-Man 2, they made nothing out of merchandising because Marvel and Disney still held the toy rights to Spider-Man. And even though Amazing Spider-Man 2 only cost $200 million to make, you factor in marketing costs, which probably would have amounted to another $100 and $150 million, distribution costs to all like world markets. The amount of profit from that $700 million is probably only about $100 to $200 million, and with all that money invested in it, it doesn't seem like that great of an investment in hindsight. And that's one of the issues. I mean, I think the film that really kickstarted merchandising for fans in general was Star Wars. And George Lucas was, in hindsight, a genius to forfeit some of his directorial fee for the merchandising rights to the film. And look where that went, right? It's now a multi-billion-dollar franchise that still made money, even though there's about a 26-year period in between episodes 6 and 1, and then another 10 years between episodes 3 and 7, because there's so many things that they could build into it that could continue to feed fans and make money for Lucasfilm and George Lucas in the meantime. There were games, card games, video games, books, comics, toy lines, and so forth. And toy lines were meant either regular action figures, toy lines through Lego, and the possibilities were just endless. And yes, you know, that benefited a lot of fans because they got to collect a lot of cool things, but at the end of it, it also made a lot of money for George Lucas, who, you know, is now no longer the owner of Lucasfilm and Star Wars since he sold it to Disney. But you know, that's why Disney spent so much money to acquire Star Wars from him. And so I think that's like, it's kind of a win-win. Yes, I get more stuff, like more stuff that feeds this one universe that I've loved since I was a kid. But at the same time, it makes money for, I think, the company that will own the world one day.
What, Disney?
Yeah. I mean,
don't worry about Google or anything.
No, I think Disney's gonna buy Google. I mean, if Disney can buy both Marvel and Star Wars within basically a 5-year span and still not lose money, they're pretty much gonna own the world.
Okay, better invest in Disney stocks then.
Yep.
I was curious, in terms of Western TV shows, like, I don't know, any, like, okay, I guess Doctor Who is pretty merchandisable, but the smaller stuff, you know, like, for example, I don't know, the 100 or any, or game, well, Game of Thrones is pretty merchandisable too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? Like TV shows that have a following, but are pretty difficult to make merchandise for. A lot of them make their money just through advertising, right?
Yep, advertising, and I guess this is, I guess it's kind of, it falls into the convention circuit, because now that this is a well-established show, you're going to have the cast basically go on tour for conventions in between seasons to help promote the upcoming season, give back to the fans, and, you know, that's where they make some extra money, either signing autographs, posters, and maybe a toy comp, like a high-end action figure company will come along and do like pretty detailed figurines for them. I know that The Walking Dead has that, so does Game of Thrones. So maybe a show like The 100 will eventually go into that as well. But in terms of other merchandise, it's really just like trinkets, like bracelets or other jewelry that will fall into like merchandise for shows like that.
Interesting. And it's very different in, like, for example, like, just cartoons and anime, where they can just create a bunch of figures and stuff, and a lot of money just comes from Blu-ray sales. I know one of my favorite shows, one of my favorite anime titles got canceled because there's not enough Blu-ray sales, so a lot of it is just seeing how many people buy the actual the actual series.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of different from like more American TV shows.
I wouldn't really say so, because in the 90s a lot of movies were made on big budgets and they did complete shit at the box office, but the reason why the studios still stayed around is because they made a lot of their money on home video releases on VHS. And, you know, you begin to see why big studios were so big on anti-piracy laws and anti-torrents, because, you know, they would take away from the home video sales. And that's why you're seeing a bigger push for bigger profits in theaters rather than home video sales, especially with the advent of digital technology and streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, and so forth. So, I mean, while physical copies will still be around, they're not as profitable as they were before, just because of the age of technology that we live in right now. So, you're gonna see a bit less emphasis on physical copies like DVDs and Blu-rays, but it's not quite as big as it was before.
Okay, but I feel like, especially in Japanese media, like anime and stuff, it's still really big. It's one of their biggest money-making ways to make money, because each Blu-ray is what, like, limited editions are go upwards of $120. And they usually come with stuff, but I feel like these days fans kind of they buy the Blu-rays more for the stuff than the actual series. Because, you know, you could probably download it anywhere or watch it on Crunchyroll or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of the reason why I want to go for special editions when it comes to movies, because regular releases only come with basically just a movie, menu, chapter selections, and maybe a few trailers. Very few actually come with any meaningful special features that make me want to go out and buy it specifically. And they are, special features are a big reason why I pick stuff up. And not, even if it comes with a bonus, like minifigure or something, that's fine. But the reason why I got the extended editions for Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit was to see all the work that went, all the special features that went into it. Like all the behind the scenes production stuff, for visual effects, acting, and production. And that's why I get those. So I get that same feeling from my anime fans buy the collector's editions that come with stuff, because, you know, if it's just the Blu-ray, and if it's just the episodes or the series or the movie on the Blu-ray and that's it, you're not really getting your money's worth, in my opinion.
So, when you're buying special edition, what are you looking for? Just behind the scenes, or is there like more to it?
It's more content outside of the film that makes me feel justified in buying the price. Like, it doesn't matter if it comes with any like gimmicky trinkets. Like when I bought the Inception one, it came with Leonardo DiCaprio's totem, a comic, and collect and basically character poster cards for each of the film's main characters, and as well as a really cool case. And it was more for that than the actual film itself. But that's a specific case. When it comes to something like the extended editions for certain movies, it's not just the extended cut of the film I'm investing my money in, but also all the special features that come with it, that like production notes, featurettes, behind the scenes stuff, because that's really what I feel like I'm paying for, and not just the movie.
Okay. And I feel like that's the same for a lot of people who collect like anime Blu-rays and stuff, but I feel like they might collect it more for the figurines or whatever that often come with Blu-rays. I feel like that's the main reason why people buy Blu-rays. I mean, I've bought one or two, but mostly just because of the packaging and like owning it and being able to say I own my favorite series. You
I,
know?
whenever I buy Blu-rays, always for the quality of the video. I've never bought Blu-rays, even special editions, for anything besides for the actual video quality. Although I can see the lure in it, for me it's just like it's like not as important as having the actual movie in its entirety in high quality. So I've bought multiple, I bought like VHS and DVD versions and then Blu-ray versions of, let's say, like My Neighbor Totoro, because he was my favorite thing, and I wanted the best video quality possible. So I unintentionally collected like complete series, like every iteration of a movie, but not really, for the extra stuff.
This is just kind of a minor thing, but when it comes to Blu-rays, and you see a Blu-ray that comes without a sleeve versus one with a sleeve, which one are you more likely to buy?
It doesn't matter because I'm going for the movie.
Ah.
That's interesting. I would probably buy it with the sleeve.
I feel like
So,
I.
in, I would
Because.
do whatever's cheaper. Sorry.
No, like if they're both the same price, but
Oh.
one is comes with the sleeve over the case and one doesn't, I'm more
Okay.
likely to buy the one with the sleeve because it's part of the packaging, and it just feels like I'm getting something more. Even if it's just like a tiny cardboard sleeve over the case, I feel like I'm getting more for my money.
I would definitely buy without the sleeve because it's one less thing to lose. I would have enough trouble like keeping track of all of them. I'd usually try to keep everything in its case, but I've got a big family, and so if someone else wants to use the watch want to watch a movie, they don't always necessarily put it back in its case or even in the right case. So I think it was one less thing to lose. I would go without the sleeve personally.
Fair enough.
Okay, but then why not just buy everything digital? Because it's going to be high quality anyway, right?
Because I don't feel like I actually own it otherwise. I want to
Okay.
have something physical. That's also why I don't buy digital manga and I collect physical. It's so I can actually have my hand and actually feel like I own it. If you look at, I'm worried when you like sign your soul away, when you click the terms and conditions for all of these sites, you don't actually own the whatever you're buying. You're just technically renting it. And what happens when the company, goes out of business, close on the website, whatever, do you still have a guarantee that that is still yours and you'll be able to always access it? Do you? I don't think so. So I prefer physical things.
Also, I guess when you know you're gonna collect something that's in a long series, do you buy each thing individually or do you wait for a box set to come out?
I just wait for it by used on eBay.
Oh,
That's what I do for
wow.
all my
Well,
manga. I don't really care. Like, as long as it's readable quality and I can enjoy it, I don't really care. For manga, at least. I don't really care because they're gonna turn yellow anyway. So as long as they're still in good condition, I don't mind if it's used. So, although box sets are cheaper, so I usually go for those. So if you get a used box set off eBay, you know, that's the best.
Because I remember, I guess, back in the early days of DVDs, when anime companies like Manga Entertainment or what's the other one, ADV Films, would release just small volumes of episodes that they're literally either 3 to 5 episodes each disc. I felt, and I was, and they would charge like around $20 to $30 for each volume. I thought that was so overpriced, and I'd rather just wait for one big box set. That, you know, that's what kind of helped push my collector's mentality. Because when you get the box set, it says collector's edition on it, rather than getting each individual volume and spend more money that way.
Well, it's funny you should bring this up because I feel like it goes back to a full circle of like why we don't collect Magic anymore. It's expensive to collect, and so I really want to continue collecting, and it makes it that much easier to collect if I can do it, and I know, you know, what I'm buying is definitely worth the price. And for me, it helps if it's used because usually I get the same quality. You know, with manga books generally degrade, so I don't mind if it's already degraded when I get it. So I think if it's cheaper, it definitely helps me collect more.
Okay, that's really interesting because I prefer buying things new rather than waiting, but only for the things I really want to collect. So it's never really a money issue for me because unless I'm really, really dedicated to a series or something, I'm not gonna buy it.
Yeah, I can see that. I only buy hardcover manga full price. Part of the reason why is because you can't find it sold used. But I think even if I did find it used, I think that this is the one thing that I would buy new. Not for any particular reason, but it's just probably the one thing I would don't mind splurging a little bit more on due to its rarity.
Okay, well, it looks like we're just about out of time. Thank you so much for listening. If you guys have your own opinions about collecting or want to tell us about what you collect, then send us an email at populationgo@gmail.com or write a comment below. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Tumblr, Instagram. All that good stuff. And I
Follow
guess,
us on all the social medias, right?
yeah, pretty much. Oh yeah, Facebook too. Can't forget that one. All right. We'll see you guys next week. And don't worry, Alex should be returning. So if you missed his sonorous voice, feel good about that. All right. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
No problem.
Yeah.